गुणनामधेयम् चेतश्च न स्मरति च तच्चरणारविन्दम् कृष्णाय नो यत् नमति यत् चिर एकदापि तन् आनयध्वम् असतो अकृत्या जीवानवक्ति भगव गुणनामधेयम् चेतश्च न स्मरति चरणारविन्दम् कृष्णाय नो नमति चिर एकदापि तन् आनयध्वम् असतो विष्णुकृत्या जीवानवक्ति भगव गुणनामधेयम् चेतश्च न स्मरति चरणारविन्दम् कृष्णाय नो नमति चिर एकदापि तन् आनयध्वम् असतो कृत्वा विष्णुकृत्या जीवा द टंग न नॉट भक्ति चांस भगवत ऑफ द सुप्रीम पर्सनैलिटी ऑफ गॉडहेड गुणा transcendental qualities, nama, and the holy name, dheyam, imparting, chetaha, the heart, cha, also, na, not, smriti, remembers, tat, his, charanaravindam, lotus feet, krishnaya, unto Lord Krishna, through his deity, in the temple, no, not, namati, bows, yet, pus, shiraha, head, ekada, api, even once, tan, then, anayatvam, bring before me, asataha, the non-devotees, akritha, not performing, Vishnu Kritya, duties towards Lord Vishnu. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Shri Prabhupada Ki. Please repeat the translation.
My dear servants,
please bring to me
only those sinful persons
who do not use their tongues to chant the holy name and qualities of Krishna, whose hearts do not remember the lotus feet of Krishna, even once, and whose heads do not bow down, even once, before Lord Krishna. Send me those who do not perform their duties towards Vishnu,
which are the only duties in human life.
Please bring me all such fools and rascals. Please hear the purport. The word Vishnu Pratyan is very important in this verse because the purpose of human life is to please Lord Vishnu. Varnashrama Dharma is also meant for that purpose. As stated in the Vishnu Purana 3.8.9, Varnashrama Charavata Purushena Paraha Puman Vishnur Aradhyate Pantaha Na Anyatato Shakaranam. Human society is meant to follow strictly the Varnashrama Dharma, which divides society into four social divisions, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Shudra, and four spiritual divisions, Brahmacharya, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, and Sannyas. Varnashrama Dharma easily brings one nearer to Lord Vishnu, who is the only true objective in human society. Na te viduhu swartha gati muhi Vishnu. Unfortunately, however, people do not know that their self-interest is to return home, back to Godhead, or to approach Lord Vishnu. Durashaya ye bahir antamaninaha. Instead, they are simply bewildered. Every human being is expected to perform duties meant for approaching Lord Vishnu. Therefore, Yamaraj advises the Yamadutas to bring him those persons who have forgotten their duties towards Vishnu. Akrita Vishnu Kritya. One who does not chant the holy name of Vishnu, Krishna, who does not bow down to the deity of Vishnu, and who does not remember the lotus feet of Vishnu, is punishable by Yamaraj. In summary, all our Vaishnavas, persons unconcerned with Lord Vishnu, are punishable by Yamaraj. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnanam Jamashalakaya Chakshurum Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutare Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Pada Kamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavascha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitantam Sajivam Sarvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhamitam Scha Hey Krishna Kamala Sindhu Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavanishwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Harike Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namni Gauri Krishne Namaha Vamcha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripaha Sindhubhya Evacha Patitana Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabho Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare This is a little bit of a what do you call a warning verse in Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam is sweet verses. Bhagavatam is warning verses. This verse is spoken by Yamaraj. Yamaraj is a great personality. He's a Mahajan. He's also the superintendent of death. As devotees, we follow the path of the Mahajans. And Yamaraj is one of them. But at the same time, Yamaraj is warning us in this very important verse that four kinds of people will come to him. And if we make the goal of our life, at the end of our life, to meet Yamaraj, well, that's not exactly a goal that a devotee should have. If we meet Yamaraj, we meet his Yamadutas. And that means in our life, we have not done four things. So Yamaraj in this verse is very clear. He's saying to his attendants, his servants, Yamadutas, please bring me four kinds of people. And you know that if you have to meet up with Yamaraj at the end of your life after death is not going to be very pleasant. Yamaraj has a variety of ways to make us pay for all the sinful activities that we have done in this world. For more information on that, you can look up 5th canto and you'll see that the variety is quite endless. But the point Yamaraj is trying to tell us here is that if we avoid these four activities in our life, then the goal of pleasing Vishnu and seeing Krishna at the end of our lives will become something that is realistic. So Yamaraj tells us very nicely that the most important thing that we should be very careful about is that all these four persons whom we just described, They all perform one activity collectively. Every one of them do not remember Krishna in the activities. This is very important. Ritevitam yat pratyeta na pratyeta charmani. Tadvidvan atmano maya vidha bhasho yatam tamaha. This is the second shloka in the Chatur Shloka, the seed verses of Srimad Bhagavatam. Very important verse. If there's any verses that we should never forget, this is one of the verses. Krishna makes it very clear to Brahma that anything in this world which appears to have value, and you know many things in this world are valuable, anything that appears to have value in this world, if it is no relation to Krishna, if somehow or another it cannot be used in the pleasure or service of Krishna, then no matter how valuable that thing may appear to be, Krishna warns Brahma, it has the capacity to drag us down into material world. And the moment we are dragged into this material existence, it is very easy to forget Krishna. That is why this entire venue could have been used for any other purpose. But your landlord does not have any idea how much piety he is getting because he has rented it to all of you. And he has no idea how this activity that he has done, which is somehow relating him to the good Lord, will actually go a long way before his appointment with Yamaraj. We all have appointments with Yamaraj. It's a matter of whether we are going to keep the appointment or we are going to cancel the appointment. If we avoid the four activities here, then our appointment with Yamaraj is cancelled, at least at the point of death. If we happen to see Yamaraj at the time when we are alive, that's very good. It means he's Mahajan and we are all in Krishna consciousness. But if we see him at the point of death, then we have a little bit of a problem. So the first point that's really important in Bhagavatam is the fact of what Yamaraj is telling. He's telling his servants that you please bring to me first of all those sinful persons who do not use their tongues to chant the holy names and qualities of Krishna. The word that is used in Bhagavatam is sin. Prabhupada was asked, what is a sinful activity? And Prabhupada gave a very wonderful definition of sin. Sin simply means forgetfulness of Krishna. That's all. Any activity that makes us or causes us to forget Krishna, that activity will incur sin. Any desire that we try to fulfill in this world, which doesn't satisfy Krishna, will ultimately not satisfy us also. In the purport of 6th canto, 16th chapter, 34th verse, very important purport, Prabhupada says that no living entity can live without desires. It's true, isn't it? From the day we are born, no matter how young the child is, the child will have desires. You will see it. And as they grow older and as we grow older, our desires just change. They may take different forms, they may take different routes, but desires are desires. And every time we think in this material world we have fulfilled one desire, we promise ourselves and promise the good Lord, this is it. If you give me this, I'll never ask for anything more. You know after 1 year, 6 months, 3 months, that deal is off. And at some point or another, we are going to modify it and we will go back to Krishna and we will renegotiate and we will say, yes, I know, I thought I'll be satisfied. But these are the reasons now why this is a genuine point that I'm coming to you for, and Krishna, you have to help me again. So Prabhupada writes there that no living being can be desireless. However, desires that cannot be fulfilled are considered karma. Such a nice definition if you think about it. A desire that cannot be obtained or fulfilled is considered sin. It's considered karma. But a desire that can be fulfilled, it is considered devotional service. If you come here and you attend all the programs, you find that in this assembly right at this moment, three things are not touching you. Three things. You can check and test. Till the end of the program you ask yourself. The first thing that's not touching you is material hankering. When we come here, yatra idyante kathamistas. In the verse it is stated, yatra idyante kathamistas. The moment we come in touch with Krishna or with Bhagavatam, three things do not touch us. First, Trishnayaha. Trishnaya means to hanker. So Bhagavatam tells us the moment you are in the assembly of devotees and we take beautiful darshan of their lordships, whatever material hankerings we have, they are downstairs. Or at the most, they are without shoes. When we go out, all the hankerings come back. But at this moment, no one is hankering for anything. You may hanker when is he going to stop. You may hanker when prasadam is going to be there. But that's acceptable. But you're not hankering for anything else. The second thing that happens when we come to Bhagavatam or devotional service is that there is no envy in the heart. Nirvaira sarva bhuteshu. There is no envy. If this was a social function or a wedding function, then we'll all be looking at each other. What is, who is wearing what, who has come, who has not come, who is talking to who. All these things become important to us. But when we come to hear about Krishna, nobody's looking anywhere else. You're either looking at the deities, or you're trying to hear me. That's all. You never look at each other. And the third thing that happens when we come to Bhagavatam is very nice. Nodvega. Nodvega means na udvega. Udvega means fear. Na means no fear. Na udvega yatra kaschana. That means when we come to Krishna, devotional service, there is no fear in our hearts. The cousin of fear is anxiety. Sometimes we say, I don't fear anything. But we can't escape from the fact that even if we don't fear things, we're always anxious about something. That anxiety never leaves us. And every time we think, this big problem is gone, now I'm free from anxiety, the next moment another set of problems with anxieties come. Either our family give us anxiety or we give them anxiety. Sometimes we think we're very big devotees and we tell everyone, so many people give me anxiety, but I just tolerate all of them. I remember I told my Guru Maharaj that, and he said, Devki, you have no idea how many people are tolerating you. And you're talking about you tolerating other people. So that way we are always anxious. But Bhagavatam and Yamaraj tells us that those who even once use their tongues to chant the name and the quality of Krishna, they will never get to see Yamaraj at the end of their lives. In other words, death doesn't stop the progress of devotional service. And in this life, if we are always chanting Krishna's names, then no amount of sinful activities can actually come into our lives. This is a very important point. That's why the verse starts with the word jiva. Jiva means tongue in Sanskrit. The tongue is the root cause of all networks of sin, isn't it? Sarira vidyaja. We know that this tongue is a very powerful organ. It is the only organ in the body through which two major sinful activities come. First, if we taste anything which is not offered to Krishna, that food will eventually contaminate our consciousness. You try an experiment, you stop eating prasadam, not recommended of course, but try doing that for a week and eat everything else except prasadam. By the end of it, you will feel really funny. You feel something is really wrong. You can try, but we don't recommend it. The second thing that the tongue is dangerous for is that even if we eat all the prasadam in the world, unfortunately we may not translate the effect of prasadam when we talk about people or when we speak. If we speak only about Krishna, or when we meet devotees, we speak about Krishna and make Krishna the center of our conversations, we are very peaceful. The moment we meet devotees after a lecture, for example, very often the tendency for us after a class, when the class is going on, we have to hear. No choice, everyone's watching us. We get up and walk, people think, what are we doing? We have to sit for the class. When the class is over and we walk out, the real test is, what is the topic of our conversation after the class? If it's the weather, if it's this, if it's that, if it's everything except Krishna, then there's a very good possibility that we should have a serious reflection about what is really interesting us. Because if we repeat what we have heard, the tongue is controlled. The tongue can only be controlled when we repeat what we have heard. And that is why the gopis say, Tavakata amritam, tapta jivanam, kavibiriditam, kalma sapaham, shravana mangalam, srimadatatam, bhuvi kranantiye, bhuvida janaha. It's a beautiful verse. 10th canto, 31st chapter. In the Gopi Gita, the gopis sing this very, very important point. They say, Tavakata amritam, these activities and beautiful transcendental pastimes of Krishna, they are known as katha. But our katha is not amrit. If you speak about your katha to the next door neighbor, he goes inside. Even if the day is sunny, he will go inside. But if you speak about Krishna with each other, there's no end to it. We can continue speaking about Krishna. The gopis say those who speak about Krishna, what happens to them is this amrit becomes tapta jivana. It becomes the life and soul of those who are aggrieved by this material world. That's the actual synonym that is given if you look at the verse. It gives peace to those who are aggrieved in this material world. Therefore, Jivana Bhakti, if we use this tongue to chant, to repeat, to recite, then we will find that it gives us peace. Tapta Jivana. Not only does it give us peace, Kalma Sapaha. Kalmasha means those things which are troublesome. Kalma Sapaha means the troublesome things that always trouble us. Just by speaking and chanting Krishna's names, they go away. They go away. Supposing you're not feeling very well, don't go to the doctor. Chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Ram, Hare Ram. And you'll find you're not so bad. If you're very disturbed about something, you don't know what to do. Instead of picking up the phone or going for therapy, very simple. You just chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. And don't be stingy when we chant. You know, we should not be kripana when we chant. We should just chant. Suppose some people tell me, you know, that you say that when we are disturbed, we should chant. So when I chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. And you'll find immediately your mind becomes still. Because it is a mantra. It allows the mind to become still. Then sometimes people say, the moment I stop, I become disturbed. So what to do? So we say very simple. Chant again. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama Rama, Hare Hare. They say, fine, I chanted. Now what do I do? I become disturbed. We say, very good. Chant again. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Sometimes people tell us, you know, if we chant and chant and chant, and sometimes we have to wake up very early in the Mangalati for us to chant, and our health is not good, shouldn't we not take rest? Should we not chant later? We tell them, no, it doesn't matter. Even if you're sick and you chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. What's the worst that can happen? The worst that can happen when you're chanting Krishna's name is that you will die. If you die while you're chanting Krishna's names, that's perfect, isn't it? Isn't that what we want? That's one way to avoid the appointment with Yamaraj. So, tava kathamritam, tapta jivanam, kavibiridatam, kalma sapaham, shravana mangala. By chanting Krishna's name, by using our tongue, everything becomes auspicious. Otherwise, in this material world, auspiciousness is relative. You know, Birbal and Akbar, isn't it? Birbal one day, you know, he had gone out of town and Akbar was with his ministers. He was walking down the road when suddenly he saw a shoemaker. So he was a bit curious about the shoemaker. How is he making the shoe? He kept looking at him and he knocked his head into that pillar right there. So he bumped his nose and he bruised his face. All the courtiers come to him and say, Maharaj, what happened? What caused you to bang that pillar? He said, actually, I was looking at that shoemaker, you know, and by looking at him, I banged the pillar. So all the courtiers say, this is the reason why you actually got hurt. This shoemaker is very inauspicious for our kingdom. Just by looking at him, you bruised your face. So King Akbar thought, yeah, it's very logical actually. So what should we do? I don't want inauspiciousness in my kingdom. So the courtiers say, very simple. You just hang him tomorrow now, and we won't have any more inauspiciousness. So next day, you know, Birbal comes back. He looks at the list of those who are going to be hung, because it was quite common in those days. And he looks at the shoemaker and he asks Akbar, you know, my dear king, why is the shoemaker going to hang today? And the king said, oh, you don't understand. This man is very inauspicious. I took one look at him and I knocked into the pillar. It's really bad. So what do you think? Birbal started laughing. He said, I have another person to add to this list. So the king said, who is it? I don't remember seeing anyone else. He said, it's you, my king. You should be on the list. You should be number one on the list. So Akbar said, why should I be on the list? I'm the reason why there's no inauspiciousness in the kingdom. And people laughed. He said, just by you giving darshan to the shoemaker, today he's going to hang. All the shoemaker did yesterday was to look at you. You looked at him. You banged into the pillar. He's going to die. So who is more inauspicious? So in this world, inauspiciousness has no value. But in this verse, the gopis say, if you chant Krishna's names using your tongue, then whatever inauspiciousness there is in your life, whatever difficulties in your life, they go away. And if they don't go away, what's the loss? You keep chanting, there's no loss. And by chanting, eventually that which is troublesome becomes peaceful. Shravana Mangalam Srimad Atatam. Srimad Atatam means it is of great benefit to all mankind. And the last point of Jiva, which is important, the gopis end the prayer by saying, those who preach and spread these glories of the Lord using their tongue, they are considered most munificent. Therefore, if you really want to control our tongue, the easiest way is every time you hear about Bhagavatam, if you hear a lecture, if you read about Prabhupada writing, then the next time you have an opportunity, speak to someone about what you have read. In that way, automatically the tongue becomes controlled. It's a very simple formula, but it is very, 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 very effective. When Mahaprabhu was cleaning the Gundicha temple, how many of us have been to Gundicha temple? It's a beautiful place, isn't it? Mahaprabhu cleaned the Gundicha temple as if one would clean the heart. The Gundicha temple was made of marble, and he cleaned it two times, two rounds. The first round, he cleaned all the rough and most prominent dust. And the second round, he cleaned all the finer dust. And when he asked for water, he got a line of devotees lining up all the way to the well, which is quite far. And they would pour water, take it out and pass it down. The entire time when they were cleaning the Gundicha temple, there was only one topic of conversation. Or rather, there was only one language used. If you read Chaitanya Charitamrita, if Mahaprabhu wanted more water, he turned to his associate and said, Hare Krishna. The associate would look at the other devotee and say, Hare Krishna. The devotee would pass down the line to the well, take the bucket, and he would say, Hare Krishna. The person picking and fetching the water would get the water. He would turn back to the associate and say, Hare Krishna. And he would take it and pass it down the line, each one saying Hare Krishna to each other. And finally, when they end, they would give it to Mahaprabhu, who would say Hare Krishna. The entire conversation was very simple. It was only Hare Krishna. So if we can induce this culture of remembering Krishna when we are in a congregation, then spiritually we all become very peaceful and very dynamic in our lives. This is the meaning of Jiva na Bhakti. It's a very important point for us to remember. Ajamil, whom actually is the reason why Yamaraj is speaking, Ajamil chanted the name Narayana because he named his son Narayana. That is why it's our tradition to name our children after the names of the Lord. Today all that is going, you know, people name people Twinkle, Dimple, this and all, funny, funny names there are. You can't remember Krishna that way. But Yamaraj, you know, he's speaking about this point. They could not touch, the Yamadutas could not touch Ajamil for the simple reason that even though he had a lifetime of sin, at the end of his life, he chanted the name of Krishna, Narayana. He didn't mean to call Krishna. He just called his son, Narayana. But because he called out in a helpless manner, he did not call out with any motive. The Yamadutas were thrown away. The Vishnudutas were called. And Krishna accepted it. Because calling Krishna's name in whatever mood is still so auspicious, it has a transcendental effect on us. So that's the first category. The second category of persons that Yamaraj is saying should be brought towards him are those whose hearts do not remember Krishna. Very important. The word that is used here is Chetasaha. Chetasaha refers to the heart, not to the consciousness. When we talk of consciousness, we always think it's somewhere in the brain. But when you say, I'm thinking of something and I'm really trying to feel it with my heart. Even material world, if you say, I want to do something from my heart, you know that person is sincere. You know that person wants to do something, not because he's just mentally doing it, but because he's sincere about it. In the spiritual world, it is no different. When the tongue is used to chant Krishna's names, automatically the heart is fixed at the lotus feet of Krishna. That's why the tongue is first. You'll find that when you chant Krishna's names, it is easier to fix Krishna in our hearts. But if you don't chant his names, it's very easy for us to not have him in the heart. That's why when we say we are sincere, we don't say, you know, oh, you know, I'm really feeling with my kidneys. Nobody says that, right? I'm feeling with my liver. No, people laugh at you. You say, I'm feeling with my heart. Even if you tell someone, you know, I'm feeling so much with my mind, he still doesn't trust you. But if you say, I'm feeling with my heart, okay, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. He's sincere. The heart is the resting place of Krishna, which is why we stated, Shravatam Swakata Krishna, Punya Shravana Kirtana. It's a very important verse for us to remember. And there, very nicely it is stated, Krishna, who is the Paramatma, who is situated in the heart, and who is the benefactor of the truthful devotee, the word that's used is truthful devotee. What does he do? He cleanses the heart of desire for material enjoyment. How? When we hear him. When we chant his name. And when he does that to a devotee who has developed the urge to hear the message of Krishna. This is very important, Prabhu's Mataji's. It is not enough for us to just say, what to do is Sunday, I have to come to temple. Then it becomes a ritual. I have to go because if I don't go, you know, it's not good. That doesn't cut. What's really needed is, have we developed an urge to hear the message of Krishna? That is how Prabhupada translates Srinavata. Srinavata we think is just hearing. But if you look at the verse, you find the word to word is one who has developed an urge to hear. So Srinavata means you must be eager to hear about Krishna. We should feel that today is the last day of our lives and tomorrow Yamaraj may come. So better we hear about Krishna today. That is how we should live. If supposing we were told by Yamaraj that today is our last day, how would we live? The whole Sunday we'll remember Krishna, isn't it? From morning till night, Mangalarti will be pakka. All the programs will be very good. You'll see it's one last day. Right till the night, better I remember Krishna. That is the urge, the eagerness is there. But supposing we know I have about 10 more days, we'll probably take a break for 8 days, push up the gear on the 9th day, and then try our best on the 10th day and go back to Krishna. Is that developing an urge? No. The word develop means it has to start somewhere. It cannot happen overnight. That's why Prabhupada used the word develop. Prabhupada never used any word accidentally. Never is there any purport where Prabhupada uses an English word accidentally. It doesn't exist. If he uses the word developed, then it means we have to start it. We have to cultivate it. Then only eagerness comes. Eagerness is not a spontaneous thing that comes and goes. There is sentiment. Eagerness is a science that is developed in the association of devotees by hearing about Krishna, and then the heart becomes fixed at the lotus feet of Krishna. This is very important. And the qualification to hear is given in that word, truthful devotee. This is important. You know, one time there was an emperor who had no sons. So he set forward. He sent many people out, his advisors across the kingdom, to find the most qualified 4 persons. And from them he would shortlist and find an emperor to the throne. So these 4 boys came before him. And they passed all the tests with equal flying colors. Nothing to separate them. Finally, the emperor says, I'm going to give you some seeds. All of you will have 1 month to sow the seeds, water it very nicely. And the plant that grows from the seed, which is the most healthy and the most beautiful, that person becomes emperor. So all 4 of them put the seeds, and over the course of the month, they started watering the seeds. And after the end of the month, the emperor called all of them and told them, show me your potted plants. 3 plants were not even plants, they looked like trees. But 1 person's plant was not even there. There was nothing in there. So the emperor looked at the boy and said, you must have tried very hard to grow the plant. Is there any problem with it? He said, I tried everything I could. I watered them, I gave them nice fertilizer, I did everything. But nothing came. So this is the end result of my activity. And the emperor said, you are going to become my successor. So everyone was surprised. They said, how come the other 3 persons are gone? Their plants grew. The emperor said, actually, the seeds that I gave them are not seeds. They were eggs of fishes. I just gave them fish eggs and I told them they were seeds. Obviously, these 3 boys must have gotten the idea that nothing is going to grow. They went out to the marketplace. You know, you have all these potted plants which are just ready. By them, keep them there and place them before the emperors. But only one boy was truthful. He had tried his best, but the result was not in his favor. That is the meaning of truthful devotee. A truthful devotee is not looking for a score sheet. He is looking to just seriously attempt to develop love for Krishna. Whether or not he develops love, he leaves it at the lotus feet of Radha Giri Guru, because that is the Lord's domain. But our domain is only our sincere attempt. And if we do that with the heart, then with the heart and the tongue, we will not see Maharaj at the end of our lives. Which brings us to the last two qualifications. Yamaraj says, send me those whose heads do not bow down even once before Lord Krishna. Actually, Yamaraj is very kind. He uses the word once, twice. Right? Which means even if we are rascal number one, if we bow one time, Yamaraj is ready to excuse us. That's how kind he is. Sishupal, for example, refused to bow his head before Krishna. Duryodhana was given so many opportunities to bow before the Supreme Personality of God. He cannot bow. Head is too heavy. He would not bow. But the devotees of the Lord, they never lost an opportunity to bow before the Lord. And here, if you look at the verse, bowing before the Lord, Prabhupada puts in bracket the deity. He puts there the deity. That means Radha Giridhari is non-different from Krishna in Bhagavatam. And every time we bow before him with our heart, not with the mind, but with the heart, then the tongue, which is chanting his name, becomes fixed in the heart, and we become devotees. This is very important. Yesterday we had a beautiful ceremony of their Lordship Sri Sri Radha Kishori Vallabh. And you remember the verse that we took? In that verse, Prabhupada writes, if one takes darshan of the deity, all material desires are disinfected from one's heart. You know, like Clorox, you know, or bleach. This is our spiritual bleach. No side effects, doesn't burn you. It only burns off all sinful reactions. It leaves you intact. This is the greatness of Krishna consciousness. And the last qualification that is being given by Yamaraj, send me those who do not perform their duties towards Lord Vishnu, which are the only duties in human life. This is very important. Our only duty, savai umsam paro dharmo, yathor bhakti ado saje, aituki apratita yayatma suprasidati. Suprasidati means satisfied. Yayatma means soul. There is only one way, Prabhus and Matajis, that we are going to be satisfied in our life. And that is if we render devotional service to Krishna as our primary occupation. We are all wives and husbands and daughters and sons. We all wear different hats. But our first business is that we should bow before Krishna. Our first business is to chant Krishna's names. Our first business is to keep Krishna in our heart. And our first business is to offer all that we have in the service of Krishna. Krishna never told Arjuna, leave everything and come to me. He said, you fight, but fight in such a way that you fight for my satisfaction. Chetasaha sarvakarmani mayi sanyasa matparaha buddhi yoga upasritya mat chitta sakatam bhava mat chitta sarvadurgani mat prasara tarisyasi ata chitva mahankaram na shoyasi vinamshasi. 1856-1857 of Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says, in all your activities, just depend on me. Otherwise, in our life, we depend on everyone except Krishna. Krishna is always the last resort. I'll try everything. And everything cannot. Krishna, I'm bowing once before you. Krishna, I'm chanting your name. Krishna, I'm doing everything. Now please save me. And then we wonder why we are still frustrated. Because we never put Krishna first. Can we really sincerely say that Krishna is more important to us or most important to us? We can't. So that is why this verse is important. Depend on Krishna. Those who depend on Krishna, they will work for Krishna. Those who do not depend on Krishna, they cannot work for Krishna. And if we depend on Krishna, mat prasada tarisyasi, by His grace, all durgani, all obstacles that come before us, they will go. And if the obstacles don't go, it's very good. Devotees don't mind obstacles, because when obstacles come, we chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Oh my dear, obstacles have not gone, What can I do? I have to chant. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. When Maharaj Parikshit was cursed by Sringi Brahmana, what did he tell the assembly of Naivishakanya? He said that this Supreme Personality of Godhead is so kind that he has graciously overtaken me in the form of a Brahmana's curse. Because he knows that I am so attached to my family, friends and society that I will only leave them out of fear. What an amazing verse. Parikshit Maharaj saw Sringi Brahmana, not as Sringi. He saw Sringi Brahmana, the curse of the Brahmana, as a form of Krishna. That is how we should live in this world. Any reverse is an opportunity to remember Krishna. In material corporate life, they tell you the same thing. They say every reversal, every failure is a way to success. All that they are saying is all from Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam has given all these corporate ideas millions of years ago. The only difference between Bhagavatam and everyone else who speaks about this is that in Bhagavatam we acknowledge and give credit that this is coming from the Supreme Corporate Personality, and that's Krishna. But the rest of us, we don't give credit to Krishna. When we give credit to Krishna, Yamaraj will become our friend. And that's why, for a devotee, he's not afraid of Yamaraj. Dhruva Maharaj was going to leave this world in a celestial Vaikuntha airplane. And who came to bow his head before Dhruva Maharaj? Yamaraj! Yamaraj came and put his head there. And Dhruva Maharaj stepped on his head as a launching pad into the airplane. When the devotees were sitting down with Parikshit Maharaj to hear Srimad Bhagavatam in Naivisharanya, who was seated with them? Yamaraj. Yamaraj was in the audience. And that is why none of those who sat there actually left their bodies. They continued hearing for thousands of years Srimad Bhagavatam. Amazing, isn't it? So if you want to have Yamaraj as your friend, constantly chant Krishna's names. Then Yamaraj sits next to you because he's also eager to hear about Krishna. But if you don't chant Krishna, if you don't chant Krishna's names, then your appointment with Yamaraj will come at the end of life. So our formula is very simple. Repeat this verse. If you can, please remember it. It is from Kunti Mata's prayers, 1836. Shrivanti Gayanti Vrananti Abhikshnashaha. What is the other verse? Smaranti Nandanti Tavehitam Janaha Taeva Pashyanti Achirena Tavakam Bhava Pravaho Paramam Padam Bhujam. Shrivanti Gayanti Vrananti Abhikshnashaha Smaranti Nandanti Tavehitam Janaha. All we have to do is follow Kunti Mata's praise. She says those who continuously hear Shrivanti Gayanti, chant what we hear. Grananti, that means we repeat and we recite. Those who chant, those who hear, those who repeat, those who recite, or Nandanti, those who take pleasure in hearing others recite. This is very difficult. Because sometimes the tendency is, when we chant and someone gives credit, we are very happy. Someone else chants better than us, we can't take it. And when we take pleasure in hearing others doing very well, that really makes us devotees. But when someone is doing very nice devotional service, the tendency of the mind is, find some way to bring that person down. You know? Or sometimes you say, Prabhu, you gave nice class. But inside the house, you say, it's not so good, I do better. But we can't say that, of course, because we are devotees. So that is why, Smaranti Nandanti Tavehitam Janaha. So very simple. Those who continuously, we must do this continuously. Continuously means always, nitya, not regularly. Eh? The word regular is very dangerous. We can be regular. I chant Krishna's names once a year. Very regular actually, isn't it? But just once a year. So that's not good. That's why Kunti Mata says continuously, in case we become too smart. Those who continuously hear, recite, repeat, and chant your transcendental activities, or take pleasure in hearing others doing so, what happens to these people? They can certainly see your lotus feet. They can see Krishna's feet. Where? In the heart. We can perceive the presence of Krishna in our heart. And once we have seen Krishna's lotus feet, Kunti Mata says, never again will birth and death touch us. Isn't that the fastest way to get out of that appointment with Yamaraj at the end of our life? Jai Vindaraj Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki. Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki. Jai Guru Premanande. Thank you so much for your time. We wish you all the best in your spiritual endeavors. And we thank everyone. And we welcome all of you to Singapore so that you can give us as much association as we desire. Hare Krishna.
Probably take some questions if there are any questions.
Maybe we have time for one quick question or some realization. That would be nice. Yes, please.
I have one question. You were mentioning that you know all these four categories of people who don't perform these activities, they become like they get the appointment with Yamaraj.
That's what the verse says. Yes.
But we also see this. So is it like a person has to do? He has to avoid all four, or like if he chants Hare Krishna once and he doesn't do the other four, is he still okay? Or does he have to do? He's not supposed to do all four to actually get the appointment.
That's a good point. If I had Xeroxed the copies of the verses and you had looked at it carefully, then you will realize that he says, bring to me only those sinful persons who do not use their tongues to chant the holy name, comma, whose hearts do not remember the lotus feet, comma. So, you can draw a conclusion from there that it's a long list. It's a good point.
Thank you.
Thank you, Guruji. Thank you.
It's not an or, it's comma.
It's a comma, you know. It's not an and or the or either. At least we have a chance. But it's a comma, 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 comma. Yes, Guru.
You see, if we chant the holy name once or bow the head once, even if we do it once for the day, is that okay or we continuously do it?
The beauty of it, actually the beauty of it is, see, Bhagavatam is smarter than us. Yamaraj is definitely smarter than us. The beauty and power of the holy name is, if you chant it once, and you tell yourself, you promise yourself you'll never chant it again, you will fail. Somewhere along the line, you'll do it again. If you tell yourself, this is the only day I'm coming to Brampton to help the Sahara market, never again, you'll be a big failure. You'll come back again. If you say, I'm not going to bow before these beautiful forms of the Lord, only one time, after I forget it, my head is too heavy, you'll come back again. This is the beauty of Krishna, the mercy of Krishna. Yamaraj is Mahajan. He knows that even when he says once, he knows that if a devotee tries, if a living entity tries devotional service even once, then by definition, the effect of that Prabhu is never lost. Swa alpam, even a little bit of that devotional service is carried forward. And Krishna will help by sending association, by sending somehow arrangements, so that even if we did it once, he will ensure that we will do it again. But at least we should do it one time. That is what Yamaraj is actually alluding towards. Just once. Please try Krishna's name.
Yes, a small one.
Yeah, sure.
Remember when you were mentioning that it is to be developed?
Yes.
So, let's say it started, but reaching the ultimate point, what is it based on? Like, for someone it takes a day, someone it takes 10 days or whatever. What does that depend on?
Very nice question. The length of time, what are the factors that determine how development of our Krishna consciousness moves? Two or three important factors Bhagavatam tells us. The first is our previous lives and how much of devotional service we have performed before. You see devotees sometimes coming in very late in life and picking up Krishna consciousness like they were born into it. You see devotees starting very early taking a long time. It's because we started at different angles in our previous life, and we're just starting off from where we left off. So that's one thing. The other thing is the principle known as Ajnana Sukriti. Sometimes in our previous life, we maybe bumped into an Acharya or a Vaishnava. We maybe jokingly chanted the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra when a pure devotee spoke it. But because of that contact, he has already or she has already given the seed of Krishna consciousness in the heart. And at the appropriate time, the seed fructifies. When it comes depends on Krishna ultimately. And if Krishna wants it to speed up, then he sends several factors that helps the plant to grow, like good devotees, nice deities. So these are the factors that tend to either stop us or encourage us very fast. But either way, we shouldn't be too worried about the development. What should be important is each one of us should try according to the best of our own ability and potential. Because Krishna ultimately respects us each as individuals. And that's the beauty of our movement. Krishna's relationship with us is always unique. And Krishna never judges anyone at whichever level they are. That is why there is no material qualification needed for devotional service. I hope that's useful.
Prabhuji had a question.
Okay. There is a question? Yes.
We say Madhava Seva is Madhava Seva is Madhava Seva. So what if you do the social service and without chanting Krishna, so is okay or you're scared of
Yamraj? Very nice point. Actually, in the 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, that question is answered. Krishna is so broad-hearted that he sees the qualities of goodness in the devotee. Sometimes in the beginning, because of our association or lack of remembrance of Krishna, it's very easy for us not to remember Krishna immediately. But Krishna is in the heart of every devotee. And bhakti is always dominant in the heart of everyone. Sometimes we start our lives by trying to get tired of this material world. We try to do something in terms of service, which is a higher service. By serving people, we learn to renounce some attachment to this material world. And in that renunciation, we become purified. So my experience is many people who have a good heart and they start by trying to be broad-hearted and not just think of themselves, but they widen their horizons, they eventually, you know, become devotees. That is the beauty. This is a natural progression. Krishna is very kind. He gives many ways to come to Him. That is why Bhagavatam must be defined not by a class. It must be defined ultimately by behavior. All the discussion we have on Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita must translate into behavior. B is Bhagavatam, B is behavior. Until and unless all the qualities mentioned in Bhagavatam is translated into our daily lives, we will miss the point and we will continue to be anxious. I think time is up.
Prabhu. No, Prabhu, this is good.
Yes,
Prabhu. What is the meaning of Mahajan?
Mahajan means one who is first a great devotee of the Lord and one who is worth following. The root word of Mahajan is one who is worth following. And there are 12 Mahajanis in Bhagavatam and all of them are great devotees of the Lord. Whatever path that they have set, if we try to follow, not imitate, we can't imitate Yamaraj. We are in big trouble if we try to imitate Yamaraj. But if we try to follow the devotional nature that Yamaraj is insisting we have, then that path that we follow will become very safe. It will be sanitized and you will not have any problems. That's in a crux, the meaning of Mahajan. He's a great personality. Yes, Mahajan.
Oh, you said the tongue should be used only for the worshipping of Krishna. In this daily life, we use the tongue for worshipping the Krishna, but at the same time, it is used for the abusive things also. So how does it...
Well, it depends on what we are abusing. Hopefully, we are abusing ourselves for not remembering Krishna. But sometimes we may have to be strict. Sometimes we have to be firm. My profession is the worst profession in the world. My tongue is meant to be sharp. It's meant to cut my witnesses, you know, so that I can win my case. But so was the sword that was in the hand of Arjuna. It was a very sharp instrument. And Arjuna tried very hard not to use it. But when Krishna told him, use it for the satisfaction of me and offer the results to me, then Arjuna used it well. So sometimes our professions have certain job descriptions that we are compelled to do. But we should not, in an artificial, renunciatory mood, just renounce them. But the hallmark of a devotee, Mataji, is that his speech is gentle. There is no need for us to be harsh. The only two persons who are qualified in Sashtras to chastise anyone are our spiritual masters and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And since we don't fall into either of these categories, then it is safer for us to be gentle without that. The word is developed. If we cultivate gentleness as a behavior, then gentleness doesn't become a weakness. Amrish Maharaj was very gentle. When Gurvasamuni became very harsh with his words, he didn't retaliate with equally harsh words. He was very gentle and he remembered Krishna. And because he remembered Krishna and cultivated gentleness of the tongue, Krishna automatically sent Sudarshan Chakra to do the difficult part of protecting him. So that proves to us that when our speech is always reflective of the consciousness that we have. When we are not harsh with others, when our words are not dambo darpam abhimanascha, parushyam evacha, 16th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, parushyam means harsh. It is a demonic quality. We should avoid that. It is actually a cultivation. It's a habit. I know some families who cannot speak to each other unless they shout. Have you seen such times? You know, it happens. You know, you walk into a family and you think they're all fighting. They say, no, this is loving exchange. You know, until we shout, we feel we're not expressing our love. I can't understand it. But they seem to get along. You know? It's a development, it's a cultivation. I hope that helps. Thank you very much. Jai Radha Giri Ki.
So we really wish you could come often. It has been a year and a half, you know, like since we saw it. It was September of 2013, yeah. Anyways, so continuing with the program, now I have a few mantras to make. Bear with me.
Namo Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Krishnaya Gurukale, Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami, Iti Namami. Pastyatyade satarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Thank you.
Thank you. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama.